Yeah, all good.
All speaking. You can hear? Yeah?
What do you want?
No. You want to click something over there? Right, hello everyone.
Hello.
Good to see you, good to be with you again. I'm Tim Meyer, live in Mass with my family, as I'm sure you know by now. I think I'm known as a posh, soft southerner, at least by my haircut place. I went to the barbers in the square yesterday, Smith's. I said, how much is it? And he said, £10. He said, but it's double for you with your accent. 35 years I've lived on Teesside, not enough to be a local because of my accent. Soft southerner, soft posh southerner. So going to get my greying locks cut yesterday. And it made me think of someone else with greying locks that we're going to study today called Haggai. He was not a young man, it's safe to say. And John Singleton did the introduction last week about Haggai. He's an interesting chap. He was a priest, not young. He was upset to see the temple in decay and ruin. And now was Haggai's time to encourage the people back then to rebuild it. But he faced a problem. There was a cost of living crisis. I wonder where we've heard that before. Times were tough. And here was Haggai in the twilight of his years. And God had given him the most important job of his life. An invitation to dream and to build. An invitation to build. To build. And we're going to hear about how he encouraged to do that. And the priorities that came along with that. You see, Haggai gives us a glimpse into a critical period of Jewish history, when those who had returned from exile are struggling. They're struggling to reshape their identity as a people. And Haggai's message, you're going to hear, is filled with urgency for the people to proceed with the building of the second Jerusalem temple. And he attributes a recent drought to the people's refusal to rebuild that temple, which he sees as the key to Jerusalem's glory. So in a nutshell, the people are tired and they're fed up. They don't prioritise. They didn't prioritise or plan. And they needed that invitation to rebuild. So, on to the reading of Haggai 1. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you, yourselves, to be living in your panelled houses, while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honoured, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What brought you home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. And then on. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God. On the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Thanks be to God. So there's a few dodgy pronunciations there I'm glad to have got through. Not easy. But anyway, on we go. I wonder, do you remember your school exams? We've just had exam revelation time over the summer. Do you remember your own school exams? I certainly remember mine, and I remember mine, my French, with a complete shudder, because I still wake up at night with flashbacks about that. Because I tell you, it was like a foreign language to me. It was absolutely, I really struggled. And the one firmly embedded in my mind was the mock French O-level. I had to take O-levels back then. That's a reference for you young people out there, O-levels. I woke up at night worried about this thing. I turned up for the mock exam, turned over the sheet and froze. I couldn't get any words or text to relate it to on my sheet. Time ticked by. 2 hours later, I was left with this crumpled, scribbled sheet, which looked more like an art installation than an essay. Friends, of course, either side of me were scribbling, were, you know, writing away, filling away sheet after sheet of answers, nor they not a care in the world. The results came in. The written report on me was Tim Meyer. I may as well be teaching him Swahili. Now, there'd be kinder tones today by teachers, I think. They'd say things like, needs improvement, or he's got a lively, creative attitude to spelling, or Tim's full potential is not yet quite reached. Those are the sort of phrases. And I can make any excuse. I could say, oh, I'm not good at languages. Any excuse at all. Wasn't my sort of skill, not knowing where to start, I was discouraged. But basically, I didn't have the right priorities. The priority was sport or music. I didn't have the priority to do knuckle down and revise my French. The job's too big, I thought. Can't be bothered. I wasn't troubling or badly behaved as a student. I was, you know, quite pleasant, but I just wasn't motivated. I didn't prioritise. And maybe, I don't know, you all look wonderful, well-behaved people, but maybe you've had a similar experience in your lives when you've looked at some sort of problem and not known where to start. The more you think about the situation, the more overwhelmed you feel. Well, it's good news, because it's not a new story to feel discouraged or to feel tired. Because many of the great Bible stories throughout history have started from feeling overwhelmed or feeling vulnerable, where individuals have met together, looked at the community and said, Lord, help! We don't know where to start. We can't cope with this. And today's topic of Haggai 1 gives such an example. Despite a glorious beginning building this temple, after 2 years, the work had stopped. Dragged down by discouragement and derailed by a lack of focus. The priorities were not the temple. And Haggai blames their lack of prosperity on the fact that the temple still lies in ruins, while they themselves live in these lovely panelled houses we talk of. And people are so moved by that prophecy back then that they start eventually rebuilding the temple. Now, I've got some sympathy for those guys, those poor folk back then, the citizens of Jerusalem. They told themselves it wasn't yet quite the right time to start the work on the temple. And there were good reasons, to be honest. There were good reasons why they felt it wasn't the right time to start work. The land was desolate after 70 years. The work was really, really physically hard. They didn't have a lot of money or manpower. They suffered crop failures. Hostile enemies resisted their work. They remembered back easier times in Babylon. They'd had a rough time. And I, myself, back then might have given those same excuses. But the temple still lay in ruins. That was the real problem. Not that God's people were living in posh houses, but they lived in personal comfort while the temple was in ruins. Some of the excuses they might have given, we can't get anything done down at the temple. It's time to rebuild the kitchen at home. Or, I'm not living extravagantly. Look at the houses in my neighbourhood. Look at the chariots parked in number two. Look at the new sandal and toga in number three. The excuses might have worked back then, but they didn't resonate with God. God saw through them in the days of Haggai. And he sees through them today. The prophet was a bit like my alarm clock. Unwelcome, but necessary. Unwelcome when it'll go off really early tomorrow to get my son to school down at Bydell's. But it's necessary, because otherwise he wouldn't get there on time. And maybe Haggai was a sort of alarm clock for rebuilding the temple back then. Because on the trickiest stuff, if ever you, like me, never know where to start, we look back well on this Old Testament book because there's similarities to our context and the one they described there. They needed to sort their priorities out. They needed a sense of direction. They needed to build a dream, to unite around so they could all pull together in one direction for a new future. Let's not knock them. The Israelites were fundamentally a godly people. God wasn't angry with them, but now was the moment for them to feel they had to move to a new future. So there's just two points I want to speak on there. What the challenge was on verses 1 to 11 we just read, and then finally the response on 12 to 15. Now, my French exam disaster, I was lucky because I managed to eventually marry a very academically successful, gifted wife. It's a good combination, I always say. She's the brains of the family and I'm the beauty. So, what are you laughing at? Don't tell her that, by the way. But my French studies were obviously a challenge for me because I didn't put the priorities right. Challenge. A challenge. That word challenge is interesting, isn't it? It's got the ability to both excite and really depress us and scare people. And verse 1 gives us a sense that the people of Israel were ready to rise to that challenge eventually. The people of Israel back then had to recognise that this was their moment. Haggai said to them, come on, now's the time. Now's the time. In obedience to God, in obedience to what they had as heard as a community. And that marked the moment in the next phase of their next life together. And verse 5 reads something like, is it really time for you to be living in houses with roofs and God's house has no roof? The first thing to say that Haggai asked the people to think and dream and build big. Build big. And today, as we sit in churches around Redcar Mask, many churches struggle after the pandemic. The challenges are real after the pandemic. These things can cause fear and strip away joy in the present and confidence in the future. Challenges like this steal away vision and purpose on how to build for the future. Building big. Sometimes visionary missionary projects were put on the back burner. But notice there was something intensely pragmatic about their plan in verse 8. Go up into the hills, says Haggai, and bring wood and build the temple. Of course, they needed to develop prayer and together, but that spiritual life was deeply intertwined with the practicalities of the community. And so it is with us today in our churches. Our plan will have to have a good balance between the intensely pragmatic and the spiritual. Both are required if we want to have an invitation to build for the future. And Haggai, the old Haggai, he pulls no punches. The thing is, the people back then already sort of knew this to be true. They knew the importance of their temple, like we know the importance of our church today. The people knew that the life of God needed to be at the centre of the city, of their community, just as we know we're called to follow Jesus in life, and that we know we have an invitation to dream and to build. Those people back then, they just didn't think now was the right time. Not quite now. They weren't not saying don't ever build the temple, that it was the wrong thing to do, just that it wasn't quite the right time. Haggai asked the people to build. Build the temple was not a sort of vanity project. It was a physical sign that God was at the centre of their life, of his people. A place of worship and a place where the community could come together back then. So what does that mean for us today? And I really stress to you today, I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty, because I think it's terrible instead of making someone leave and feel guilty. Because we're not saying don't be concerned about your day-to-day life. Don't be concerned about your own business of living. We're not saying don't be anxious if your job is on the line or illness or you're worried about paying the rent. These worries obviously matter to us. They obviously matter to us, and it's hurtful for anyone to say otherwise. But maybe, just maybe, Haggai is saying, don't forget the main thing. Don't forget the main thing. Because we here too in Mask today have an invitation to build and to dream. Where we've been called by God to review our priorities, to listen to each other. Just as you've been doing in the service today. Listen to each other. To listen to our community. And in the light of that, to draw up a vision for the future. Haggai's call is to rebuild not just a glorious building, but a building that declares glory. Our call is not to rebuild a tabernacle here. I'm not going to send you after the service up into Errington Woods to get a load of wood and start building. Get on with it. But maybe our dream is to build new priorities. Building instead a community built on God's love. When it comes to our town, there's plenty of problems. We might feel it's a struggle. We might feel it's a struggle, but we're called to build God's love out to the elderly that are lonely, out to young people that are struggling, out to people who are budgeting problems, out to people who are struggling with antisocial behaviour. When we see people trying to divide our country from each other, we see all that and we might feel, I can't cope with that. I'm inadequate. I can't cope with that. How are we going to reach our community with the gospel of Christ? It's not easy. It's challenging. But the charity footprints with the food bank could have said 12 years ago, it's just too big a problem. We can't make any difference. But Haggai is asking God's people to think differently. Because faith is not a luxury for good times. It's how we live when we're under pressure. And having laid down that challenge, Haggai wants a response. He wants a response verses 12 to 16. And first, the response is simple, one of obedience. Verse 12, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Simple as that. The people obeyed. The power for change, the power for growth, was not their numerical strength, it was in their attitude of heart. And remnant. Now that's a rich Old Testament word for the faithful people of God. And this remnant hears the promise. I am with you. It's the promise given to Abraham, to Moses, Israel back then, and to us today. It's a promise for each of you sitting here today, for us together as the body of Christ, here in our very own church. And God's promise can replace fear. The invitation to build for the future in our churches and community, in our lives, to build the dream based on Christ. To build that God accepts every single one of you. Every single one of you sitting here. Whatever your situation, whatever your background, whatever your problems, he knows you by name and he simply wants a personal relationship with each one of you. And then we see also how God responds in verse 13 when his people begin to obey. I am with you, says the Lord. Brilliant words of encouragement and a hope for the future. I am with you, giving us all the strength we need. And finally, in verse 14, we see those two things come together in action with those lovely, lovely words. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty. What a great image that is, isn't it? What a great image. The idea of the Lord chivying us along, encouraging us, stirring up our spirits to rebuild and work here in Mask, Redcar, Saltburn. So we look forward. We dream for the day, the moment when we move together to build into God's future. So finally, Haggai 1 is the invitation for the people back then and for us now. And such a vision inspired hope and a renewed sense of identity for the people returned from exile. And that temple they rebuilt, this blows your mind, Jesus preaches there all those years later. All those years later, when those people had rebuilt that temple, Jesus ends up preaching in there. So today, the dream, the priorities, the building, the plans, it's the voice for us and our community. The desires of the church expressed after prayer, after dialogue, a desire for how we want our community to be for the future. Our church to be. And most importantly, how we think God wants our lives to be. We get to build a new dream. Our God is an awesome God. Amen.